Welcome back to The Signature of Man, a podcast dedicated to pursuing truth in the philosophy of art and beauty. This is episode 4 of The Signature of Man podcast, and I'm your host, Miguel Benitez Jr. In this episode, I had the opportunity to interview Walter Stuckey. Walter Stuckey is currently finishing up his dissertation in humanities with a concentration in history at Faulkner University. He has his BA and MA in history and also teaches English and history at Chosun University in South Korea. He has been married for 6 years to his wife Cheryl Ann, who is from the Philippines. In this episode, Walter and I discussed What is Art by Leo Tolstoy. We explore questions like what is true art, how did Tolstoy define art, and is Beethoven's Opus 101 really true art? Walter, thank you for taking the time to do this interview with me and to come on and talk about Tolstoy's What is Art?
My pleasure, Miguel. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, and for our listeners, this is the third interview that I do. It's our fourth episode of the Signature of Man podcast. It's the third interview that I do, and Walter, like my two previous conversation partners on the podcast, also is a student from Faulkner University, working on your doctorate there, and so we've had the opportunity to have a couple classes together, so that's been good. So the first question I wanted to ask you, and I'm really excited about this conversation, because in some ways today we'll be dealing with really what's at the heart of this podcast. The Signature of Man podcast is a podcast about the philosophy of art and beauty. And one of the key questions, if not the key question, is what is art? And so we're going to be actually wrestling with that question today. But for you, what is it that drew you to Tolstoy's work in particular, whether it's agreement or disagreement, but what did you find interesting about what Tolstoy had to say?
Well, I was initially drawn to this book through my fine arts class at Faulkner, actually. But what drew me to this passage in particular, and I took this class about 4 years ago, but this passage has stuck with me. And throughout Tolstoy's work, What is Art?, he keeps going back and forth about what is true art. And he has a tendency, I believe, to think that true art is found amongst the general public, amongst the masses, the poor, the downtrodden. And what I thought was very curious is in the program, the Great Books program, we're studying the great literature and the great traditions. And Tolstoy, while he's a part of that great tradition, he's also, at least from in this work regarding art, he's attacking what we would consider great, like Beethoven, for example. I mean, who today would deny that Beethoven's one of the greatest musicians of all time? And yet Tolstoy is highly skeptical of Beethoven's, some of his work actually being considered true art. Rather, it's more of maybe what the bourgeoisie would consider true art.
Right.
And so people would pretend to like, even if they didn't like it, they would just say, well, it's Beethoven, so I have to act like it's good.
Right.
And so that really drew me to it. And then contrasting with that is this, some of the stories he gives that he thinks are true art are usually kind of spur of the moment, random acts of joy that come out of the day-to-day living of peasants.
Yeah, that's really good. And we're going to get into that a bit more in a second here, because that is important for us to understand what is it that Tolstoy actually thinks is true art. But one of the things that I do appreciate about Tolstoy that I want to kind of get out there up front is that as I've been wrestling with this question, and it's one that I've been giving a lot of thought to, is this question of what is art. As I think about what it is and I try and figure out, okay, what is it that makes art distinct from non-art? What is the necessary and sufficient conditions of what we call art? I have come to the conclusion that in order for us to come up with a meaningful definition of art, it is going to cut off certain things that we would generally call art. And Tolstoy seems to understand that. Tolstoy seems to understand if we're going to give a true meaningful definition to art, then we can't include every little thing that everyone calls art, because there hasn't been a good, true definition of art. People haven't thought carefully about this. And so we've kind of just accepted everything. And that's, I think, done, or at least hindered, the progress that we can make in talking about art, talking about the philosophy of art, because we almost have to incorporate everything. And it's much like Tolstoy says, we feel the pressure to incorporate everything and call everything art. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that, I don't know if he would say everything should be called art, but I think what he would say is that that which is even considered the best art is not always true art. It's just what the art, or it's the art that high society says should be art. So the aristocrats say, this is art, this is beautiful, and they hoist it upon the rest of society, and then the rest of society just mimics what high society says is true art. And as far as it, when we try to define what is true art, it does eliminate a lot of things that we think are art. But I think Tolstoy was pursuing this from a class struggle perspective as well. He certainly was, all throughout this work, he is always contrasting the peasants with high society, the lower classes versus the higher classes. And so I think he always saw that which is considered true art being what the aristocrats, the church, says is true art, not necessarily what is true art.
Okay, yeah, good. Thank you. And just for clarification, I certainly agree. Tolstoy would not say everything is art, but rather he finds himself in a society, he finds himself in a place where the people with the power, the people with the influence, kind of determine that anything can be art, and they almost feel this obligation to see it as art. And he's saying, no, just because particular people have said it's art doesn't make it true art. So let's go ahead and start there for our audience. How does Tolstoy define true art? What is it that he's talking about when he talks about true art?
Well, I think that for him, true art is, as he says, it's conveying a definite, strong feeling. And I think by definite strong feeling, it's a realistic feeling that ultimately brings unity and brotherhood to humanity. And that is what actually constitutes true art. Does it bring a definite strong feeling that unites people in Christian love? And the examples he cites seem in Tolstoy's mind to indicate that. For example, he says that he approached his house and he heard loud singing from a circle of peasant women, and that gave him such joy, and he was overwhelmed by the joy of that. And he says, I became infected by it, by the women singing, and approached the house more cheerfully, reaching it quite cheered up and merry. He's talking about his house. He was on his way home, and some peasant women there were there to celebrate his daughter's recent marriage, and their beautiful singing, it exuded a very strong feeling of unity and, I guess, Christian sisterhood and brotherhood. And the other one that I really like is a story he read in a children's magazine about a mother who was very poor, and he says here that she was having difficulty obtaining white flour, and she poured some out on the table and kneaded it and went to get some yeast, asking the children not to leave the cottage and to watch over the flour. And the children, they forgot what their mother said, and then all of a sudden, some chicks came in and they pecked at the flour, and so now the woman can't make the food she wants for her children, so the mother, in despair, she scolds the children. The children cry, very strong feeling here. The mother then feels sorry for the children, but there is no more white flour. And so to cheer them up, the mother decides to make a coolage from sifted rye flour, glaze it with white eggs, etc. And then she says, rye bread's my delight. It's the grandpa of white. And she recites this proverb to the children and then comforts them for not having the coolage because the chicks pecked away at the flour. And then the children suddenly go from despair to joyful rapture, each one repeating the proverb, and they look forward to the coolage with all the more merriment. So they have a type of coolage, but not the type they thought they were going to have. But what it was is this story, it creates a definite, strong emotional feeling that ultimately brings joy in the end, in spite of there being brief despair, as these this poor mother is not able to make the coolest she wants for her children. And that is true art, Tolstoy, not simply something that high society would say is some great work of art.
Yeah, it's interesting. And for our listeners, the passages that you were referring to come out of chapter 14 in What is Art? And it's really interesting, though. I'll add to what you said. So certainly Tolstoy would say art needs to convey or express a particular emotion, but he actually criticizes those who think that art is anything that creates an emotion in me, right? Or in the viewer, in the person who's perceiving the art, the person who's kind of receiving the art or having the aesthetic experience. He says that's not enough, right? What true art is, and this gets back to your idea that you said about unity, what true art is when the artist has experienced a particular emotion and now conveys that emotion, expresses that emotion in such a way that it then kind of brings about kind of creates the same emotion in the person that's engaging the art, right? So you have this sharing of an emotion now through what Tolstoy would call true art. And so that really does kind of cut off a number of things. And he contrasts this song of the peasant women that you mentioned, that he says it's clear that they were having this joy, right? And that he and the others who heard the women singing were also having and experiencing the same joy as the women that were singing. As a result of their song. He contrasts this with Beethoven's Opus 101. And he says that these are examples of two different things. He finds the song of the peasant women to be true art, but Beethoven's Opus 101 not to be. Can you explain why? Why is it something that probably the vast majority of people would listen to and say, this is art? Why is that not art in Tolstoy's point of view?
Well, it's interesting because after he speaks about the peasant women singing, he says that very evening an excellent musician, he makes the point to talk about the excellence of the musician, famous for his performing of classical pieces and especially of Beethoven, came to visit us and played Beethoven's Sonata Opus 101. But why I think Tolstoy would say that that's not true art is because it doesn't have that unifying factor of bringing people together. Ultimately, in Christian unity, he says about this, when the performance was over of Opus 101, everyone present, it was obvious that they were all bored, eagerly praised the profound work of Beethoven as they thought they should, not forgetting to mention that they had not understood this later period before, but now saw that it was the very best. So there, he's saying the people, they didn't really enjoy it, but they had to pretend to enjoy it. They had to basically, or maybe I should say they were expected to praise it and say nothing but laudatory things about it, even if they didn't truly feel that way. So maybe it's not true art when people are only saying it's great because it's what society is expecting them to say about it. Because if it was truly great, they wouldn't have been bored. They would have enjoyed it. It would have created a feeling of unity in Christian brotherhood. And also, and I'm certainly not an expert of Beethoven, but they're talking about Beethoven's later period before. Now they have to pretend that they themselves are more aware of Beethoven's later work, apparently. But in reality, I wouldn't expect peasants to really know much about different periods of Beethoven's music, but then they have to also kind of pretend, oh yes, I understand, this period of Beethoven is better than the previous period. But in reality, they're just parroting what they would be expected to say. And he goes on to say, and when I allowed myself to compare the impression produced on me by the peasant women's singing, an impression experienced by everyone who had heard it, with that of this sonata, the lovers of Beethoven only smiled scornfully, considering it unnecessary to respond to such strange talk. So it's almost like the lovers of Beethoven, they have this I don't know if snooty would be the right word, but they almost have this aura of superiority. Like, here are these peasant women speaking about this piece because they're supposed to, but then they can't really fully understand it because they're only peasants, but they're supposed to pretend to understand it. And so I think basically in fine, I could say Beethoven's piece that they listened to, instead of bringing unity, brought a type of confusion.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point. So he's finding, and I like the way you said that Beethoven's work brought confusion. There's this pressure from society to kind of accept it as great art, and yet there was a kind of communal element. There was unity that was found in the peasant women's songs that was he's saying is not found in Beethoven's work, or in particular the Opus 101. What I think is interesting is you pointed out he wants to make it clear that it wasn't just a matter of the experience, like something went wrong with the experience. So he mentions that the musician who's playing it is a very skilled musician. And he also says that when he, and I'm paraphrasing here, but basically Tolstoy is saying when he philosophized about the song, about the piece of music, he came to all the same conclusions that, you know, the art critics of the day do. So he wants to make clear that it's not for any lack in Tolstoy in his ability to philosophize, and it's not for a lack in the musician that was playing the piece of music, but rather this was an accurate observation that he was making. There was something unifying about the song that the peasant women were singing that lacked in the Beethoven piece. So why is it, and we see this over and over again, and as you said, he certainly brings his ideas of class struggle into this discussion about what is art. Why is it that Tolstoy seems to find more art in peasant art than, say, that which the bourgeoisie approve of as art, or what they say is art?
A lot of it would just center on money. For example, the peasant singing, or the story I read earlier about the mother and her children, it's not done ultimately for money or to make a lot of money, whereas as Tolstoy, he frequently would criticize the idea of people being professional musicians just for the sake of producing to make money. And I think that is a large part of it, the idea that true art won't be profit-driven. But I think that he finds a greater degree of humility with the peasantry. And because there's a greater degree of humility, it's easier for them to create true art. And so they can be the true artist. As at the very end of his work, the task of Christian art is the realization of the brotherly union of men. And of course, to have true brotherly union, one of the key ingredients would be humility, I would think. And he sees the peasants as having greater humility, whereas the upper classes, they'll work peasants to death to produce some kind of stage for a play. I think he opens this work with that, and that idea. And he always seems to have a preference, generally speaking, for the peasants over the aristocracy. And of course, he himself was an aristocrat who abandoned that in favor of benefiting peasants and lower class people. And so I think he sees lower classes of people coming from, starting from a better spiritual place than the higher classes, generally speaking. I don't think he would say that's literally 100% true across the board. I don't think he'd say every aristocrat was bad or every peasant was good, but I think by and large he sees peasants as more likely to reflect Christ and Christianity in their lives than the aristocracy.
Yeah, and it's interesting because when he does, just, you know, again, for our listeners to be, I want to be clear here, he's not writing off Beethoven altogether, right? He does make it clear that some of Beethoven's works he does consider to be true art. But he's giving us a particular example, and I think trying to give us a very strong example of saying, no, things that we just feel the pressure to say is art, people just assume is art without giving it much thought, those things aren't necessarily art. And so he's giving us a very prime example. But I thought it was interesting that he went on to speak very highly of Baroque composers such as Bach, right? And that in itself makes me wonder, as we think about this class struggle, something that's, and I'm certainly not an expert in the history of music and movements, but if I'm understanding it correctly, I believe the Baroque composers were seen as odd, right? Baroque art in general was seen as somewhat odd initially. Now we would consider it, you know, beautiful and a great period of time for music, but really art in general. So I do find it interesting that he speaks well of the Baroque period, and maybe that has something to do with the fact that initially it wasn't accepted, and over time it's been kind of a sustaining force in the history of art. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I actually, that was one of the things that struck me when I read this too, because certainly he's talking about Bach and Haydn and Mozart and Chopin, and he speaks of them, or even Beethoven in his early, he speaks more highly of it. So it gets me wondering, is Tolstoy being consistent here with the class struggle he puts in into his interpretation of art? But at the same time, part of me thinks if something is perhaps initially rejected as being true art by high society, then maybe it is true art. So in other words, something could be rejected initially by the aristocracy as being true art, but a century later the aristocracy embraces it. So even though they embrace it now, it's still true art because perhaps it wasn't originally embraced. But I don't even know how accurate that interpretation is, because I know Haydn, for example, he was basically a very famous, well-paid musician in his lifetime. I believe he was employed, I can't remember which particular king in Europe employed him. So he certainly wasn't a no-name musician himself. He was definitely, would have been part of a bourgeoisie, so to speak. So to me, in this passage, it's hard to fully gauge Tolstoy's opinion here about how, on one hand, things that are expected to be art aren't necessarily art, but then with other people like Mozart or Bach, that too would also be expected to be art, and he would consider it true art. So he doesn't, I guess it would have to say that in those Baroque musicians, he must believe that they do contain a definite feeling of infecting people with a strong kind of feeling towards unity. Those Baroque musicians must be able to do that, because he said that while the 101st Sonata of Beethoven was only an unsuccessful attempt at art containing no definite feeling and therefore not infecting one with anything, if he says that about the 101st Sonata of Beethoven, he obviously wouldn't say that about the other musicians he mentioned. But how he ultimately comes to these conclusions is not, at least for me, is not entirely clear in this passage.
Yeah, and I'll just take a quick stab at it. It seems to me that his criticism is not towards the upper class artists, but rather towards upper class art criticism, right? And so I don't think he doubts that upper class people can produce what is art. What he seems to be criticizing is the upper class thought that all of it is art. And so Beethoven and Bach and any number of others can produce what Tolstoy would see as true art, because again, the key is experiencing an emotion and then capturing that emotion, expressing that emotion through an art form, that would be true art. And he actually gives a list of all kinds of things that we might not have considered art. So he considers comedy to be art and all kinds of things, because these are different ways in which you can pass on an emotion. But the key is that unity that you were talking about in the emotion. So I don't think he doubts the upper class's ability to make art that allows us to feel what they feel. I think what he's questioning is the upper class's ability to distinguish between what is real art and what is superficial art or a cheap imitation of art. It seems to me that what he's saying is, because the peasant class, they know it. They know when they feel something, and they don't feel the pressure from everyone else to say that they feel something when they don't. So they're going to more naturally experience the emotion of the art. They're also not exposed to as much art. So he believes that the upper class is exposed to so much art and so much philosophizing about art that it's almost led to confusion for people. So it seems to me that's how he would kind of get around this. Yes, many of the artists that we consider to be great artists, great musicians, great composers, they all still produce art some of the time. It just may not be the upper class that's in the best position to sort that out. Does that make sense? What do you think?
Yeah. Yes, and I, if I may add, I think too, if you have somebody who is part of the upper class, Haydn, who's a great musician, or perhaps Beethoven in his later period, he becomes more recognized for his greatness as a musician. I think Tolstoy would also say then that they, even those in the upper classes that can produce true art, they encounter a lot more regulation because they have to worry about filling a theater, or they have to worry about pleasing the church or whatever the church wants. And so because of that, that can stifle their authentic creativity as well. They run up against that, whereas peasants will never have to run up against that. They're never going to make money with their art. They're never going to be looked at as artists. They're not going to be regulated by a church, any kind of governing body of any kind. And so they can just more naturally express their authentic feelings, whereas somebody who's more high society, or at least they get into this position where they're respected in high society as a musician or a painter or a writer, then all of a sudden they come up against a lot more critics too that they have to bend to, or they're tempted to bend to the will of critics. And I think we could even see this today when it comes to speaking one's mind freely on any given issue. And I'm not going to get into a bunch of issues. Is a pastor or somebody is a professor or a politician or a well-respected member of society, they are careful usually in how they and what they say because they have more to lose if they say something wrong. Whereas if somebody is from a lower, I don't want to say a lower class, but if somebody's perhaps, in other words, today a homeless man in theory could speak his mind much more freely, and because he has absolutely nothing to lose, so you might get a more authentic opinion from him on a given topic. And I think that kind of thinking goes into the art that Tolstoy is talking about. The peasants have less regulation that they have to worry about. They don't have to worry about checking their feelings or emotions as much to please powerful people.
Okay, yeah, that's a great point, and I think also a great application to today that we can look at is the class struggle or maybe the political struggle affecting the art that's being put out, not just in the kinds of messages that artists are putting out, but also in what would be allowed, right? So again, for Tolstoy, the message is not something that can be changed into a proposition. It's more of an emotion. But even then, the question is, okay, can you use certain things to convey a particular emotion? Or is the pressure from media, from your place of work, from, you know, whatever else may be, just society in general, does that pressure come down and keep maybe a more understandable, easier to approach and appreciate kind of art from being produced because of these outside kind of forces? So let me ask you, and we'll kind of wrap it up with this here. As part of the podcast, one of the things that I want to do is keep in mind that I want us to pursue truth when it comes to art and beauty. I think that unfortunately in this field of study of aesthetics, there's a lot of skepticism, there's a lot of relativism. And so I think this podcast, and I'm really pleased with it, I think we've done a good job of kind of giving the audience a good feel for what Tolstoy thought counts as art and what doesn't. So, Walter, do you think Tolstoy was on to something? Do you think he's given us something to work with as far as a way of defining art? Or do you think his effort ultimately falls short?
I think he is more successful in defining what is true art than he is less successful. If I had to put a figure on it, I would say he's, 70% right.
Okay.
Of course, I'm just kind of pulling that number out thin air, but I think the one thing he's right, I think, in that trying to be free from certain societal expectations of the aristocracy is a good thing as far as creating true art. But at the same time, I think where he falls short is having too much confidence in the peasantry to produce true art. Well, what if the peasantry turns away from Christianity? Then what will they produce? Then that's when the higher society, if you will, if they at least maintain a semblance of Christianity, they can at least keep the peasantry from going too far off course in that which constitutes true art. And so I'm somewhat of the opinion, of course, I'm no art expert, that which is considered true art would, in a sense, reflect the image of God. And I think that this society that still is striving for Christian brotherhood and unity, the people that do that, they will not be swayed by societal expectations of those who are saying you have to produce something a certain way, the way I want it, or I won't accept it. But if society moves away from Christianity, then this relativism, this artistic relativism comes in like an avalanche, and all of a sudden anything and everything is considered art, even if it's not artistic at all. And so, and then when that happens, it makes you wonder, how can you reclaim what is true art? Do you turn to the high society, the upper classes, or do you still focus on the lower classes to produce it, or a combination? But overall, I think Tolstoy did a good job, and I mostly agree with him.
Okay, good. Yeah, I appreciate it. I think I agree with you in that I think he got a lot of things right. I appreciate his courage to say, look, if we're trying to get at truth, if we're trying to understand what art really is, there's going to be some things that our society has accepted as art that are going to fall by the wayside. They're not going to be true art. And I think that's the hard work that we need to be willing to do if we're going to be putting forward a meaningful definition of art. And so I agree. I think the one thing that seems to be missing in Tolstoy's definition of art, and I'd be curious to get your take on this, it seems that it's deficient in kind of understanding the role of symbol in art. He seems to kind of remain in the emotional, but I wonder, can art be a vehicle for truth that is not merely emotional, but something grander, something greater?
Well, I would say that which is grander or greater, at least for Tolstoy, would be that which is ultimately rooted in the truth of Christianity. And so I know in other places he's critical, for example, in this work, he's critical of, for example, Oscar Wilde and the depravity that he promotes in his work. And of course, by depravity, he's contrasting that against Christianity, Christian morality.
Right.
And so he would say that Wilde is not, his literature is not good, it's not true art, because it certainly doesn't push people towards the brotherhood of a Christian brotherhood. It pushes them into immorality. Whereas today, Wilde is considered one of the great writers of all time.
Right.
Tolstoy would say no way, because he's pushing people towards ugliness. And so he's not just saying, Tolstoy's not like, oh, emotions, 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 that's all that matters, feeling, 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 emotions and feelings towards unity between people and Christ, those feelings and emotions, that's what's concrete to him, not just any, oh, this song makes me feel good, even though it's causing me to hate my brother and not care or not follow Christ. He would say, well, then that's not true art, no matter what kind of feeling it brings in you. because it's lacking the foundation that's built upon the rock.
Okay, great, great. I think that's a great way for us to go ahead and finish up. Walter, again, thank you so much for this discussion. I've certainly enjoyed it, and I think this will certainly be interesting and helpful to the listeners as well.
I appreciate it, Miguel. Thank you for having me. It's been my pleasure.
I hope you enjoyed my discussion with Walter. Please be sure to subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already, leave a review, and share it out on social media. You can also email any comments or questions to thesignatureofman@gmail.com.